And now it's time for our Wisconsin News Roundup, where we cover the biggest stories from around the state each week.
Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of Dontre Hamilton's death at the hands of a Milwaukee police officer. We discuss how some honored the anniversary and how recent events in Baltimore relate to Hamilton's death.
The state Supreme Court chose a new Chief Justice this week, replacing Shirley Abrahamson while she challenges the ruling in court.
And signs say we may be getting closer to a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. We'll talk about all these stories right now with WPR's Assistant News Director, Noah Ovshinsky. Noah, welcome back.
It is good to be here, and happy Pledge Week.
Almost over.
Within hours.
Well, tomorrow, now, too.
Right, tomorrow too. Tomorrow evening. Yeah.
Well, let's look at our Wisconsin news this week. We mentioned the anniversary of the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton.
Right. So yesterday was the anniversary of Dontre Hamilton's death. He was shot and killed by a police officer at a public park in Milwaukee. Hamilton, as you might remember, was unarmed, and the officer has since been fired. The incident really spawned several protests over the past year, including one that took place yesterday in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so what happened yesterday?
So around 100 people marched from the city's near west side to Red Arrow Park, where Hamilton was killed. Nearly a dozen protesters laid on their backs, and members of Hamilton's family spoke during the protest. This latest rally, and really the anniversary itself, comes during a week where, you know, once again, the nation is grappling with the aftermath of another police-involved death involving a black man, this time in Baltimore.
And we've had news updates today. The prosecutor there in Baltimore is filing charges against the six police officers involved in the death of Freddie Gray. Bring us back. What happened to the police officer involved in the shooting death here in Milwaukee of Dontre Hamilton?
Yeah, so Christopher Manny actually was fired by the Milwaukee Police Department for not following procedure. He appealed that decision but has since lost. He was not charged criminally by the DA in Milwaukee. The DA in that city did investigate the incident, but found there was no basis for criminal charges. Hamilton's family still hopes that the Justice Department, the federal Justice Department, will take some sort of action based on the case, but that remains to be seen.
As we've said, a lot of these stories going on in the country, not just in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, also we're watching, waiting to hear the results of an investigation in Madison, looking into the shooting death of an unarmed African-American 19-year-old by a police officer. What's the latest there?
Right. So in recent weeks, like in Milwaukee, there have been several protests against the killing of Tony Robinson. The investigation itself has actually been completed, and the results have been turned over to the DA in Dane County. We are awaiting a decision by his office on whether or not Officer Matt Kenny will actually be charged in the case. They received the results of that investigation a few weeks ago. We're still waiting on a decision. Regardless of what it is, you know, I would expect there to be, you know, more protests certainly in Madison in the coming weeks.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Milwaukee Bucks arena question. This has been up in the air, different proposals floated. What are we seeing now? It seems like something's coming down to the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell because of who's getting involved at this point. Governor Walker is actually taking a break from his, you know, unofficial campaign for president and getting directly involved in the negotiations. I think that's probably a sign of how serious people are taking this issue. Walker has said this week that they are close to a deal. They have not reached one, but they are close to a financing deal for a new arena.
And what's the sticking point?
The big question here, Rob, the big one is how much of the financing pie is the state, the city, the county actually going to pick up to make this deal a reality? As Sean Johnson actually reported a little bit earlier on this week, there isn't much talk about the owners of the Bucks actually pitching in more money. So it appears it will really be up to state, county, and city government to make up the balance of the cost.
So on the public funding side, what are we floating here? What's being talked about?
Well, the former and current owners of the team are prepared to spend about $250 million on the deal. That leaves roughly $250 million that needs to be found somewhere. And the debate now is, where is that somewhere?
Mm-hmm. And so where would that come from? What's the state been talking about?
So initially, Governor Walker had proposed a $220 million bonding plan. Other proposals have called for greater involvement by the city and county, financial involvement. This entire conversation, it has to be said, though, comes at a time when the city of Milwaukee, the county, and the state are short on funds. So, you know, any decision that is made about this financing deal for the arena, it's going to be controversial.
Mm-hmm. And so what's at stake? I mean, is there a risk of losing the team, having the Bucks move elsewhere?
Well, it depends on who you ask what the stake is, but the owners have said they would consider taking the team elsewhere if they don't get a new arena. You know, this is a scenario, frankly, that plays out in city after city, and right now it's Milwaukee's turn to deal with a prospect.
Well, briefly, the state Supreme Court, a new chief maybe?
Yeah, this at best, I have to say, is an awkward turn of events for the state Supreme Court. Justices on the Supreme Court picked a new chief this week, as you talked about at the beginning of the segment. The four conservative judges picked Justice Patient Rogensack. She replaces Shirley Abrahamson. Why is this awkward? Why is this significant? It's significant because Abrahamson says she is still the chief of the Supreme Court.
So briefly, this goes back to that vote we had changing how the state chief justice gets selected.
Right. So Wisconsin residents last month voted to amend the Constitution so that the chief is actually elected by their peers and not through seniority, which had been the case for, you know, 100 plus years. Abrahamson is the longest serving justice, so she held the title.
So this is going to be what? This court issue is going to be in the courts still.
Right. So Patience Rogensack, according to the Supreme Court, she is the current chief now. You know, whether it stays that way, who knows? Abrahamson has a hearing in her case scheduled for May 15th. So, you know, as I often say on this show, stay tuned to find out who the chief is.
We'll check in with you on this one again, I'm sure. Noah, thanks as always.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
That's WPR's assistant news director, Noah Ovshinsky, bringing us up to speed on the biggest headlines around the state in our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
The relisting of the gray wolf as an endangered species in the Western Great Lakes region has renewed debate over its recovery and how to manage wolves. As Danielle Kading reports, the back and forth in the wolf's federally protected status may affect its recovery.
55 years ago, gray wolves were non-existent in Wisconsin. Since then, their numbers have grown to just under 700. Dave McFarland is a large carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. McFarland says the back and forth with the wolf status changes how they manage them.
Now that we have implemented a hunting and trapping season in the state that was designed to reduce the population and was effective in doing so, that's a pretty significant change in the management of the species.
Wisconsin began holding a hunt in 2012, but a federal judge's ruling put them back on the endangered species list last year, banning future hunts in Great Lakes states. Despite the ruling, wildlife managers largely agree the gray wolf is recovered in the region. Pete Fassbender is a field supervisor with the Wisconsin Ecological Services Office of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says the change in status shakes public trust.
You have producers that are trying to make a livelihood. They're affected by wolf depredations, and you have folks that really love wolves, and their wolves are being taken. It's kind of this balancing, right? And the public hears this, and they just lose faith that the government can manage wildlife.
A group of researchers released findings last fall about what happened to wolves in Wisconsin during recent shifts in their status. Eric Olson is an assistant professor of natural resources at Northland College. Olson says they found fewer wolves were killed illegally when state managers could kill wolves to resolve conflicts.
When they lost that authority, or when there was a year where they had less authority to do that control, illegal killing increased.
Dave Rood says one reason may be that alternatives to deter wolves, like lights or sirens, don't always work. Rood is a supervisory wildlife biologist with USDA Wildlife Services in Wisconsin.
Most would argue that probably there's greater illegal mortality when people become frustrated. They're trying to resolve conflicts on their own. Limited site selective lethal control of depredating wolves has not impeded wolf recovery across the Western Great Lakes region.
But that's not the issue for Melissa Tedrow, state director of the Humane Society. Tedrow says she doesn't trust the state to manage wolves when it approved a wolf hunt.
There may be a wolf that's causing a problem, but to have an indiscriminate hunt, taking out packs, threatening the species, it's not warranted and it doesn't work.
For Wisconsin's Native American tribes, wolf protection is a matter of respect for an animal they view as a brother. Peter David is a wildlife biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, which represents 11 Ojibwe tribes in Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
The tribes have supported keeping wolves on the endangered species list because culturally they see the kind of protections that are provided by that as being appropriate for wolves.
David says finding a middle ground on management begins with people feeling like they have a say in the process. With that in mind, the DNR's McFarland says the state conducted a survey last year of factors that influence people's attitudes toward wolves. He says that will guide an update of Wisconsin's wolf management plan.
It's not meant to be a referendum or a vote. It's meant to be another piece of scientific data to inform the decision-making process in the same way that our biological data does.
McFarland says it's then up to the decision-makers how to use that information. He says they hope to get public input on an updated plan this summer and present it to the Natural Resources Board in the fall. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio in Ashland.
And now for more on wolf management, we're joined by WPR's reporter in Superior, Danielle Kading. Danielle, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. Can you give us a sense of how sensitive a topic wolf management is in northern Wisconsin?
Well, it's pretty sensitive in northwestern Wisconsin in particular because there's a band from about Ashland west to Superior where they see the most wolf livestock issues. In fact, the state says the number of conflicts have been cut in half since they began a wolf hunt. In 2010, there were 70 cattle killed, and now that was down to about 33 last year. And so the number of conflicts are more frequent up here just because there's more density of wolves.
And as we heard in your piece, it sounds as though there seems to be broad agreement that the wolf population has recovered. What does that seem to mean going forward?
Well, a couple of things. Right now, the state is updating its wolf management plan, and they have four alternatives on the table that they're looking at. One is to have a minimum population where they would basically maintain the population as it is right now at around 650 wolves. The second, they would have about 350, which is the current number that they have outlined in their current wolf management plan. The third would be to have a range of from about 350 to 650. And the fourth would be to have a population maintained, not based on a number. It backs away from that. And that's the last option that folks with the Humane Society of the United States would like to see. They don't want to see wolf management or wolf recovery based on a number. They say that there has been a rush to enact wolf hunts after delistings have occurred and that wolves have been aggressively killed at high levels. And there were 154 wolves killed in a wolf hunt last year. But the DNR cites recent studies saying that the state could support maybe 700 to 1,000 wolves, but that probably wouldn't be socially tolerated because of the conflicts that result.
And with those four options that you just put on the table, how do you expect interested parties to try to move forward and come to some kind of consensus?
Well, that's kind of the difficult question because everybody has a different point of view, a different perception of wolves and their recovery. You know, we have people like the Humane Society on one end that are saying that we need to protect the wolf, that otherwise if there is no protection for it, then there's going to be this wolf hunt, which is mandated by state law, and that they feel that they would be aggressively killed if not. You know, on the other side of that, you have the state saying that, you know, the wolf population has grown at highs at points to more than 800, and that that's causing more conflicts with livestock producers, and they're paying out more compensation from the state. They paid out $151,000 last year because of wolf conflicts to producers. So there's a lot of back and forth, and then you have the Native American tribes who don't want to see the wolf killed at all because they view the wolf as a brother. And so it's just a lot of different perspectives, and it's hard to find a middle ground in there. And I think
And we'll be watching that. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
That was Danielle Kading, WPR's reporter in Superior, giving us the latest on wolf management in Wisconsin.
This is Central Time.